has a lot of different scriptures in the Bible. So I have quite a few here for you. Proverbs 14:31. Those who oppress the poor blaspheme their creator. To show kindness to the needy is to worship Yahweh. Proverbs 19:17. Those who are kind to the poor are making loans to God, and God will repay them for their goodness. Proverbs 22:9. A blessing comes to the generous when they give of their bounty to the poor. Proverbs 31:8. But you speak out for those who cannot speak, and for the rights of those abandoned by others. Speak out, issue decrees, vindicate the rights of the homeless and the hungry. Luke 3:7-11. John said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, "You pack of snakes, who warned you to escape the wrath to come? Produce good fruit as a sign of your repentance, and don't presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Sarah and Abraham as our mother and father.' For I tell you that God can raise children for Sarah and Abraham from these very stones. The axe is already laid at the root of the tree. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and tossed into the fire." When people asked him, "What should we do?" John replied, "Let the one with two coats share with the one who has none. Let those who have food do the same." Galatians 2:8-9. The same one who anointed Peter as apostle to the Jewish people gave me a similar mission to the Gentiles. Recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James, Peter, and John, these leaders, these pillars, shook hands with Barnabas and me as a sign of partnership. We were to go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. The only thing they insisted on was that we should remember to help those poorer than we, the very thing I was eager to do. And I've got one more that I personally go by, and it's, "What you do to the least of these, you do unto me."
Amen.
And I don't know where that's from, but I know it's in the Bible.
Thank you, Debbie. Amen.
Thank you.
Debbie recently had eye surgery, and so she's reading to us from her new eyesight that I'm so grateful for. So for those who were here last week, you remember, and for those who aren't, you're getting the clue that we kicked off a 9-week sermon series based on Be the Church. Last week, we talked all about protecting the environment, and today, we're going to talk about this theme of caring for the poor. So who are the poor? Are you poor if you self-identify as poor? Or is it someone else that places that label on you? Does being poor have to do with the amount of money you have in your bank account? Or whether or not you even have a bank account? Does it depend upon the number of material items you own? Or can you own thousands of items and have them piled high to the ceiling but still be poor? Does being poor have more to do with the state of your spirit, your sense of fulfillment in this world? One thing is certain: the theme of caring for whomever is considered poor is of utmost importance to God, Jesus, John the Baptist, the disciples, the prophets, all throughout our sacred scriptures. And caring for the poor is a hallmark of what it means to be a Christian. Many of our scriptures that Debbie read today were from the book of Proverbs that has many things to say about this topic. Proverbs is a collection of wisdom that was written by many different people over a long span of time. The word proverb is synonymous with general truth, advice, wise sayings, and mottos. According to the prologue, the introduction to this book of Proverbs, this book was written to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, and to make the wise even wiser. In these verses, we learn that showing kindness to those in need is one way to worship God. That's one way to worship God, is by showing kindness to those who are in need. We learn that God will repay those who are kind to the poor for their goodness. We learn that blessing comes to those who share with others, and that we are called to speak out on behalf of those who cannot speak out for themselves, especially for those who are experiencing hunger and homelessness. I learned this many, many years ago, and maybe you've noticed the way I talk about this, but I try to never say the homeless, the hungry, because it reduces people to an experience that they're having in their life at that moment. And so it's really important sometimes to use people-first language, people who are experiencing something in life. Later on in our scriptures, when the crowd comes out to be baptized by John in the beginning chapters of Luke, he didn't sugarcoat his message at all. He chastised the people for claiming to be religious simply because of their heritage. Today, it might be simply because of their church membership versus the actions that they've actually taken during their lifetime. The people cry out to John, "What should we do then?" And he says, "Let the one with two coats share with the one who has none. Let the one with food do the same." So God desires everyone's basic needs to be met, not for the people to be divided into the haves and the have-nots. And then our last text for today comes from the book of Galatians. This is believed to be written by Paul to a church community in Galatia. And the text talks about the ways that they were trying to sort out who was going to minister to whom. Paul said that who was going to minister to the Jews and who was going to minister to the Gentiles, which means non-Jews. But in the end, he said, what really matters is not who is going to minister to who, which community, but to remember to help those who are poorer than we are. He didn't say it was the responsibility of the rich to help those in need, but for everyone to help someone who is poorer than you are. So everyone has something to offer to everyone. For 9 months of last year, our national UCC denomination was highlighting a different church every month that lives into these values. So the church that was highlighted for caring for the poor is Ebenezer UCC in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, who launched a laundry love ministry at their local laundromat. They assist those who are marginalized by poverty by providing the money and the supplies that they need to do their laundry. The laundry love coordinator at the church, this is what she said. She said, "We're not there to judge, change, or feel sorry for those we help. We are there to give them the simple dignity of clean wash. I kept telling my pastor and his wife about my idea. Each person I explained it to agreed what a good idea it was, but we didn't know how or where to begin. At long last, the pastor asked me if I was just going to do it or keep talking about it." So in June of 2010, a team of volunteers launched Laundry Love. For several years, they've been meeting families and individuals at the laundromat to feed quarters into the machines, to provide homemade soup, sandwiches, fruits, and vegetables to the guests as they help them with their laundry. It began as a once-a-month ministry, and by prior arrangement with the laundromat owner, they hosted a two-hour session by providing those quarters, laundry soap, and softener. A typical session helped anywhere from 8 to 15 families, and the cost was about $150 to $225, depending on the need that night. She mentioned one gentleman named Ignacio who wanted to be remembered, and he showed the church volunteer the quarters that he had left in his hand, and he was able to put them back in his pocket and explained that he was happy because he could now send that money to his family in Mexico instead of using it for the laundry that evening. What began as a once-a-month service project is now a weekly ministry that involves four different churches. All the congregations came together to help out with the project. And the Laundry Love teams also collected donations of bath soap, deodorant, toothbrushes, toothpaste, household cleaning items, disposable razors, lotions, and other hygiene items to distribute as gifts to the people that they serve. There are as many ways to care for the poor as there are needs that arise in folks' lives. Perhaps the first and most obvious way that our congregations care for the poor has to do with our work around feeding individuals and families. I was at a protest last Thursday, and I introduced myself to a woman who was creating a protest sign. I said, "Hi, I'm Kayla Bonniewell. I'm also the pastor of Church of the Open Arms at Cathedral of Hope." And she asked, "Well, where are your churches located?" And I said, 3131 North Penn. And she said, "Oh, I know where that is. I was with a friend once, and we went to a food pantry there. It was so cool. You got to go through, and it's not just that they handed you a bag of groceries that you may or may not have picked out for yourself, that you may or may not use all of it because it's not things that you wanted. You get to go through and pick out what you want from each shelf. What a cool concept." And I said, "I agree with you." We purchased the food for our pantry here from the Regional Food Bank at a cost of $300 to $1,000 per month. So the Regional Food Bank does not give us the food for free. We have to purchase it, and that's how much it costs us. That is the same amount of money that one family might spend on groceries per month in the United States of America, between $300 and $1,000 a month for one average family. But instead of spending that amount of money and feeding just one family here at our food pantry, we feed between up to 300 households per month on the same amount of money that an average family might spend in 1 month for one family. Cathedral of Hope volunteers on site at the Regional Food Bank, and they sort and pack the exact pallets of food that are often delivered to this building for our Friday food pantry. Cathedral of Hope also cares for the poor by collecting supplies and hosting fundraisers for the Wins House, which is an HIV/AIDS supportive and transitional housing, and Other Options, which provides food for families that have at least one family member in their family that has HIV/AIDS, and for CSU Youth Services, supporting youth in crisis. Our newest ministry that helps us to care for those who are experiencing hunger or homelessness, as I talked about with the kids, is our Blessing Box. And day in and day out, I see our church folk come by the church any old time and put in a bottle of water or a box of toothpaste or a cracker. And our windows on the front of the church are tinted. So that means during the day, I can look out, but not everybody can see in. And I'll just be coming down from my office to go talk to Carmen, and every time I come down, somebody's opening that door, putting something in, or taking something out. It's really incredible. So helping those who do not have their material needs met is not the only way that one can experience poverty. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about the poor in spirit, and our contemporary reading that Debbie read to us reminds us that folks can have every single material item or status symbol achieved, but still long for the soul to be complete, long to feel loved unconditionally, to seek meaning and purpose, to seek hope and new life. So what are the ways that church community is capable of caring for the poor in spirit? How do we provide and foster ways to connect relationally and socially? Book studies, Spanish classes, fellowship with food, social outings, and small groups do much more than increase our knowledge and expand our cultural awareness. These are also ways that we care for those who are experiencing a poverty in their spirit. So just like last week, we went through several evaluation questions about each of these nine values. And so I have talked a lot about some of the ways that we already care for the poor and that we can grow into caring for the poor. But on these next questions, I would love for you to have some time for reflection, but also a discussion, just like last Sunday, about ways that you know that you can see, maybe that I haven't even thought of, that we care for the poor or can grow in to caring for those experiencing poverty. And maybe you might even have a personal example to lift up. So here is the first reflection question. Congregants have individually engaged in actions around both charity, which is offering direct services like food, clothing, and shelter, and justice, which is promoting social and economic change in institutions or political structures. So I know we do this as a church, but do you think that individuals within this community do this in our own lives outside of from church?
Yes.
You think so? Marched with Black Lives Matter and Martin Luther King Jr. Parade, yeah. Gay Pride Parade. So we do have, I agree. I think that we have individuals who express this value in our individual lives and not just in our communal life in this congregation. Some do it in secret. That's a very good point. Voice is a way that we do address justice issues. Voice is an organization that our church is part of. Voice is organized in civic engagement, where we partner with how many churches? 25 plus? 25 other churches in Oklahoma City to work on issues of justice. Our next question asks us, our congregation has talked about wealth, poverty, economic inequality, and the common good in intentionally theological ways through worship, Bible study, book groups, forums, lectures, or other efforts. Some of you have been here for a lot longer than I have as a church member in church every Sunday. Are there ways in our long history that we have done this as well that you can remember and would lift up? Church-wide study groups on giving. That's true. Our music is full of theological ways that we engage our topics. Is that true? Yeah. All right, let's go on to the next one. As a congregation, we've worked alongside people in need to advocate for economic justice and increased social support. For example, fair wages and employment practices, nutrition programs, health care services, affordable housing, accessible transportation, child care, etc. What have we done as a congregation in these areas, or what could we be doing? Jim. Mike said we've written to our legislators. Jim says that we've supported an organization called Just Hope, a Nicaragua ministry. That's absolutely true. Keith. Yeah. What was that called? Suzanne, about the loans where we tried to, the payday lending. We worked really hard to get payday lending not as prevalent here. Affordable housing for seniors. Wonderful. We have had foster parent training here at our church, especially in the last couple of years. That's wonderful. Our playground is open to the public. Are there things, if you begin to think of things that we could be doing, not just that we have been doing, I hope that you will lift that up as well. Okay, the next one is, we have assessed what, if any, financial barriers are in place to keep lower income people from being fully engaged in the life of the congregation and have worked to minimize or eliminate those barriers in order to provide equal access and opportunity. How do you think we do with that? We could do better. No matter who you are, where you are in life's journey, you're welcome here. How so? So this question to me asks us, are there ministries and opportunities that we have that you can keep attending and have access to even if you don't have a large income? Do we have many of our things that are not don't have a cost associated with them? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So some of our folks have difficulty with transportation. And so that is a definite barrier. If you can't get to wherever the place is going to happen, that's something that we might need to address to figure out ways to make it sure that everyone can be part of a small group. That's a Yeah. A ticket, yeah. Scholarships for events or retreats. It's true. It's true. All right, Keith. This is an important congregation in the life of this community. Absolutely. I think there's one more. Congregants have developed meaningful relationships with individuals across a broad spectrum of economic situations, both within and beyond the congregation. What do you think? Are you all here today? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's true. That's true. Thank you, Robin. Makes anybody feel welcome if you can wear, come as you are. It's a good point.
It
made you feel welcome.
And when I saw Krista coming in the door in a tank top and a pair of shorts.
Tank top and shorts is okay.
I said, I'm cool.
That's right. That's good. I was wrong. There's one more question. All right. Now, this is, if you haven't spoken, feel free to. Our congregation has collectively provided direct charitable services for individuals who are in need. For example, food, clothing, meals, shelter, gas, food vouchers, school supplies, etc. Are you sure? For real? Okay. I think you all are right. I would say that it'll be interesting to go through the 9 weeks and see how we fall and how we feel about these values. But I would say that maybe caring for the poor is really high up there about what we do a lot in this congregation. So amen. Amen. And yet, I would encourage us to keep our hearts and minds open to what new ministries the Holy Spirit may be leading us towards in this value and area and theme. May it be so. Amen.